Preach it in Jesus' name. The one that removed that veil between us and God. Before Jesus' sacrifice, there was that veil, that barrier between us and God. That separation that had occurred back there in the garden was still there. That it hadn't really been corrected. But I'm glad it was even though there was a barrier there, it was a veil and not a concrete block wall. Not that God couldn't have removed a concrete block wall, but it was a veil which indicated that he was expecting it would be removed. It was something that could be removed. Anyway, he was planning to remove it, and it is removed, and we have access to God. And we're welcomed. Not he always did love us, but the actual removal of that barrier had not taken place until the work of Christ. This morning, I want to look at the subject of enhancing husband-wife relationships. And I know not all of you are married, but I want to share this message with all of you, and certainly not suggesting that it's only husbands or wives that can learn from this message. That's not true at all. And you can open your Bibles to Ephesians 5, verse 22 to 32, that classic passage on husband-wife relationships. Beautiful passage. I have some things to share this morning, but I think it would be very interesting. You know, there's some people here that have been married longer than I've been living, like Uncle Titus. And I think it would be interesting to hear from him what he has to say about husband-wife relationships. But I don't think he's prepared for that, and maybe he can share some things afterward with me. But as we go through life, hopefully we learn some lessons from the scriptures on how to make these relationships stronger and better. Let's read from Ephesians 5, starting with verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. God set up the relationship of husband and wife. Husband and wife, he made that the marriage relationship. He created the home in his wisdom. And what a beautiful thing he did when he did that. He made it... an institution, or he made it a relationship that is to be for life, and how wise he was to do that. It was very, 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 very good. It's beautiful. We wouldn't want it any other way, although sometimes we might question that at the moment. But it certainly does, in spite of ourselves, it forces us to resolve our problems. Well, it doesn't force us to, but it does help us to resolve our problems rather than run from them. And that's very, very good, because we need that to resolve our problems. But we are married for life, and we continue to support that. The Bible teaches that, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But married for life means it can be a long happy time, or it means it could be a long miserable time, because it doesn't have to be an enjoyable time. It doesn't have to be. And as we look around, we see that many do not enjoy their relationship for life. And outside in the world, they break off their relationship and divorce and such like. But we have our partners for life, which is good and right. But we don't have to enjoy that relationship, but we can. And you may as well. It is for life. And you may as well enjoy it. And so learn what you can do to make that a very enjoyable relationship. Of course, it's our intention that it is enjoyable. But it's good. It's very important for the husband-wife relationship to be successful. For our own personal reasons, but also because of the children that are involved in it, because it has a very, very powerful influence on our children. And failing husband-wife relationships do wreak havoc in the children. Now, as we get married and we begin established homes, and we have let's look at what we understanding the problems we face here. We have high expectations, which is very good. I would say it's good to have high expectations, high ideals. Of course, we believe our partnership is absolutely our partner is absolutely wonderful, and that's a very good start. Very good start. As we go through life, we'll understand that. While our partner is absolutely wonderful, there will be some disappointments in our partner that we will face. And that's something that we'll need to reckon with and deal with as we face those disappointments. How are we going to face them? How is that going to affect me? And then, of course, I say we have high expectations. One of the high expectations we have is that we're going to do better than our parents, which I say is good. It's good to have high expectations and goals to do better than your parents. And I hope that by the grace of God, you can do that. But you will realize that after a while that your parents, I don't know your parents particularly, but you realize that you're... to doing better than your parents may be a bit harder than you first expected. It appears easier on paper in an ideal than it does than it is in practice. And so these high expectations can also become, if we don't start adjusting, they can become a frustration to us if we don't start realizing where we are. It's just one of the problems we face is the high expectations. And again, I'm not opposed to high expectations. But we have a high expectations, then it's good. We'll have to relate to actually where we are, which can be difficult sometimes. Another understanding the problems that we face, understanding one of the other problems that we face is selfishness. Now, the problem of thinking about me, here in Ephesians, he says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh," and that's true. We don't hate our own flesh. We think about ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We naturally take care of ourselves. We naturally protect ourselves, and we are selfish, and we don't understand how selfish we are. And in the marriage relationship, that selfishness gets highlighted because there's someone very close to you that loves you, but is running into your selfishness that you're not aware of, and it's making a problem for her or him, whoever it is. And so that's one of the this problem of selfishness, which is let's call it spiritual maturity, okay? We all have room to grow in our spiritual life. I'm not trying to belittle anything about you, but we'll have things to learn about our selfishness, about thinking about me, and our selfishness will cause problems in our relationship just because we're just not aware of some of the problems that we personally have. Another one of the in understanding the problems that we face is our differing personalities. Now, our differing personalities, of course, is one of the reasons why you are attracted to each other. That's very true, and differing personalities certainly have a plus. They do. That's one of the reasons, likely why you were attracted to them, and their strengths. You saw them. You admired them. But all people, everybody has weaknesses. For every strength, everyone has strengths and everyone has weaknesses. And in the marriage relationship, of course, you can see those strengths, but what comes out oftentimes is the weaknesses that you see. And we don't focus on the strengths so much, but we see those weaknesses, and that starts making a problem in our relationship. This is trying to look at some of the problems that we're going to face and helping us to understand what we're coming up against. And hopefully as we see these problems that we're going to face or are facing, and we can identify them, we can be prepared for them, and it doesn't trip us up too badly when we experience them. But yes, our differences become more evident, and then those differences, those difference of interest, difference of personality can become a problem. First of all, one of the things we have is we don't even understand why they think differently, why they act differently. Because, of course, we're used to ourselves and how we think. And, of course, they're used to themselves and how they think, and we think everybody thinks like us. And then we get married, and then we are really puzzled about some of their responses. Why in the world is there such a response in this person that, how could they possibly think so differently? And I'm not thinking of important differences, maybe just minor differences, but they're there. They will be there. And that can become a problem. Of course, they can become a problem in a vast array of areas, the different personalities. And then we have the man versus the woman in their different ways of thinking, which is, of course, very beautiful. And such a blessing that we don't think the same. It's such a blessing that it's very important that we're not the same. It's so very important that we think differently. And yet that very thing of thinking differently, the different approaches to life can of course undermine that relationship very quickly, very easily. And so, yes, that the way a man thinks, the way a woman thinks, they're in some ways they're very different, and it's very, very important, and it's such a blessing. But there's areas where that can be a problem too, as we relate to each other, and we're unexpected. And so these are some of the problems that we can face as we're married and relate to each other very closely. Then another one of the understanding the problems that we face, another one of the things that I thought about as we relate to each other in a married relationship is that of being stretched in our abilities, being stretched in what we can do. As a husband, you may find yourself, you know, at times stretched beyond what you feel you can do, what you can possibly do. Or as mothers, you know, here's all this work to do, and we find yourself stretched beyond your capability, and that becomes a problem. When we feel that we're stressed beyond, you know, I'm busier, I've done this, and now it's beyond what I can manage, beyond what I can do, and of course that obviously can be a problem, is a problem as we relate to one another in this close, and now maybe it's not so close if we're both stretched. In our abilities, it might not be so close anymore. It starts to get a little distant, you know, and you have your things that you must do, and she has her things that she must do, and she's overloaded, and she feels, and you're overloaded, and now what's happening, you know? So those are some of the things that, and I'm sure, I know there's many, many more we could think of. Those are the things we're going to think of. Those are the things we're going to mention here this morning. And now we want to look at the framework for success. With all these problems that we can face, the marriage relationship can become very tattered and not strained beyond repair, no, but very strained. And yes, many, many choose to, and I'm glad not in our circles, but many, many choose to simply end the relationship, end the marriage, and escape it that way. But the framework for success, just a couple blocks, things that we need to have as a framework for success. And first, the first one I have, because the framework for success is the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. The secret, I believe, to a successful marriage is that we personally live the Christian life personally. You know, that we embrace the teachings of the Scriptures. That I believe the answers are found in us becoming Christ-like. And that's how our marriage relationship blossoms and grows strong. Now, we enter into the marriage relationship as Christians. And I'm not questioning that at all. We enter the marriage relationship as Christians. But we have room to grow in our Christian life. We have a lot of room to grow in our Christian life. And I'm not belittling you because of that. I'm not belittling you at all. But you have room to grow in your Christian life. And for me, speaking for myself, I learn things very slowly. And the older I get, the more I become aware of how extremely slowly that is. As I get older and then the Scriptures, you know, open up to me, and I learn something from the Scriptures, and I look at it and I see it and I say, you know, it's been there for and I could have learned that for 30 years, and I read over it and I but it somehow didn't get in, you know. It somehow didn't get in. I learned so slowly. Well, that doesn't mean you have to learn slowly, but I'm guessing that you're at least somewhat like me. You learn rather slowly in these Christian graces, these Christian truths. And so we get married and we have a lot of things to learn in the Christian graces. And again, I'm not suggesting you're ignorant or you're just so extremely immature. I'm not suggesting that at all. But you have a lot of things to learn. And you run into problems and you fail, even though you might understand how it is that you failed. And so then, because there's a failure, specific or general, because there's a failure, when there's a failure in Christian in the Christian graces or in the Christian truths, there's going to be a problem, because that's what happens when there's a failure in whatever, however big that failure is, or how small it is, that's how big the problem is that's created. And you might not understand what the problem is, and so that you have this relationship with your wife or your husband that is not like it should be, and you don't know what the problem is, and you're a Christian, you know. But if we pursue becoming Christ-like and the truths of His Word, those things are there's going to be a solution to them. There's going to become a rest to them. And so when there are bumps and lumps and stuff, you know, that's not okay. I know that's not okay. But continue to apply yourselves to the Christian life. Seek answers to that specific problem, yes. Continue to apply yourself to the Christian life and grow up in Him. And the answers will come. So I believe that is the fundamental framework for success is being becoming Christ-like. And what a task that is. Another framework for success in the marriage relationship is what I'm talking about. Another framework for success in the marriage relationship is the headship that the scriptures give, that the husband is the head of the home and the wife needs to submit to him, and that, of course, you could say produces strife. If you're the husband and you need to give direction and yes, you could say it produces strife, but ultimately it does not. But yes, it can produce strife in your relationship as the husband takes responsibility and gives headship in the home. But it's important that you do. It's important that you do. There'll be a certain amount of, there'll be some areas where that will produce strife, or there'll be, you know, where you'll give headship where it's often it's not going to be a real vital issue where it's not really important, you know, how you give headship, how you answer this problem, how you give direction to this problem. But sometimes there'll be times when it's going to be, you know, your view and her view, they're going to be sharply different. But who knows where that's going to be? Could be, who knows what area it's going to be in, but it's going to be sharply different, and it's just going to be it's going to be a problem. It is a problem, you know. It's going to be a problem. But God says that the husband is the head of the home, and you must take that responsibility. You must do it, and it's the way to peace in the home. It is. It's the way to peace in home. Never relinquish that. Now, I don't mean when I say never relinquish that every opportunity you have to, you know, make a point of you're the head of the home, you need to do it. That's not what I'm saying. Because we need to be gracious. We need to be kind. And that doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean we always need to have our way. No, that's not what I'm saying. But never relinquish that you're the head of the home. You always take that, always keep that in your hand. That you're the head of the home. Because that is That is how God wants it to be. That is how your home will be blessed. Yes, you don't have to win every battle. No, it's not. That's not. But you need to relinquish that you're the head of the home. And of course, as wives, you need to submit to your husband. Like Peter says, maybe even without a word. Although oftentimes there'll be words exchanged, hopefully kind words, but there'll be words exchanged, and that's of course very appropriate. Now, one of the unfortunate things about this husband being the head and the wife being having to submit is that we as husbands, as we enter into this relationship and we love our wives, but we really don't know how to love our wives like we should. We don't know how to. We have a lot to learn about loving our wives. And so we stumble in expressing our love and showing our love. We really don't know how. We have so much to learn, or at least I did. And the wives, while it is their expressed interest in being submissive to their husband, they may not understand exactly how to do it either, even though they want to. But as you relate together, you'll learn together how to do that. But again, as husbands, we may not know how to love our wives like we really should. And as wives, you may not know how to submit to your husband, even though it's your intention, of course, to love your wife and to be submissive to your husband. But continue to pursue growing in your Christian life, and God will show to us how to relate in a very successfully in a strong way. All right. Now I want to think of just a number of ways where we enhance our relationship. Enhancing our relationship. I have to think first of all of the gift of a wife. You know, when God made us, He made man first, and there was no wife. He didn't have to do it that way, but He did. And then he made the gift of a wife, and what a gift it is! I mean, what does the proverb writer say? Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And it's just when I think of the gift of a wife and how, you know, how well. I'm very glad I didn't have to make a partner, make a wife. I wouldn't have made it like what God did. It wouldn't have been near as it just would have been a flop. Okay, I know it would have been a flop. All right, but when God made it, He made it so marvelously wonderful. It's just amazing. Now, looking at it, sometimes you think He could have done a little bit better in some areas, but that's not really true. And after a while you realize that's not the way it is. It's just fascinatingly wonderful. He did it just right. The gift of a wife is a very precious, precious gift. And sometimes people wonder if they have the right one. But I just want to assure you, you do. You have the right one. You certainly do. But be thankful. Be thankful for the gift of a wife. God made us without a partner, and then He made a partner for us. And we are richly, richly, richly blessed. Don't lose sight of that. In all the business of life and in the relationships of life, we can lose that altogether, that thankfulness for the blessedness of a partner, the partner that we have. Don't lose sight of that. You're richly blessed. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. How true it is. And so, we enhance our relationship by being thankful for the gift of a wife and the blessedness of a husband. We enhance our relationship by love, the choice to love. You know, our expectations, we have those high expectations, we start redefining them and start trying to catch up with where we're going to live and how it's actually going to function. But that close relationship exposes every weakness in your partner. All of the weaknesses of your partner become exposed. And you might not recognize all the weaknesses right away. No, you won't. In fact, you won't. And that's okay. I'm not saying hurry up and recognize them all. Not at all. They'll come. You don't have to worry about it. They'll come. But we need to be committed. We need to choose to love. Committed. I am going to love my partner. I'm going to love her. Choose to love. And that sounds awfully drab, you know. But it isn't that drab. It's not drab at all. Choose to love. Choose to love this person. Be committed to loving that person. And the Lord will certainly bless that relationship. He will. When you choose to give your love to your partner, it builds a beautiful relationship and a very strong relationship. And yes, it does. So our relationship is enhanced by our choice to love. I will love this person. And hopefully that's not just the big mountain you have to cross, but I will love this person. And we will have a good relationship. And so much can be learned as we continue to take that approach. And the relationship is good. Of course, we are admonished to love each other. It says, husbands, love your wives. And that term is agape. Love your wives. And when I look at agape love, I see it as a love that has a choice, that chooses to place our affection there. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We are to place our love with our wife, and God will. It's beautiful when we choose to love. We don't have to choose to love. We can choose not to. We can let it deteriorate and fall apart. Choose to love. Okay, enhancing your relationship. Be content. Be content with the wife that you have or the husband that you have. You know, your relationship with your partner will not be identical with, as you view other marriage relationships, it's not going to be identical. You are you and she is she. And it's not going to be the same as everybody else's. Their relationship's going to have their own unique, whatever it is. And yours is going to be, it's going to be you and her. It's just you two. And you can look over across and see then try to copy. And of course you can learn from others. I'm not opposed to learning from others at all. We can learn a lot from others, but our relationship is going to be our own unique relationship. How the combination of your personality, your spiritual growth, I don't know what all the combinations are, but it's going to be the combination of you two, and that's going to be your relationship. And be content with it, and blossom it, and grow it, and it doesn't have to be like everybody else's. Okay, whatever that phrase means. It doesn't have to be like everybody else's. And so, be content and nurture the relationship. Nurture what you have. And it can be beautiful. It will be beautiful as you nurture it. Next is nurturing our relationship. In enhancing our relationship is be understanding. We're going to think differently in of course, there's a vast array of areas where we think the same, and we that's one reason why we married each other, not only because of our differences and we were attracted to each other because of our differences, but we have a vast area where we're thinking the same. There's that vast area, but there's going to be differences, and because of those differences, there's going to be misunderstandings come along. It just will. And you can't help it. I don't think you can help it anyway. I couldn't help it, okay? I don't think you can help it that there's going to be misunderstandings. There's actually going to be hurt feelings because we're not prepared for all the surprises that we face. That's not the end of the world. Now, we don't want misunderstandings. We're not pursuing them, but we're going to experience them. We don't want hurt feelings, but they're going to be there. They're going to happen. And I'm going to say it's okay. Only in the sense that it's going to happen, and we're going to go from here, and we're going to overcome these, and we're going to go on to better things. Okay. She's going to notice. She's going to appreciate things that you don't think about. And some of the minor things, of course, aren't going to be a problem, but some of the more major things will. But the misunderstandings are going to happen. Miscommunications. She's going to notice flowers. She's going to want to talk. And then there's other things that are going to go on. Of course, your wife has her own set of problems, and it might be to be exactly the opposite. You don't notice flowers. You don't notice beauty, and you don't talk. You know, that might be the very thing that your problem. You know, she thinks about you as you talk. You know, before when you're dating, you talk. You have a problem talking, and after a while, you know, you don't talk anymore. You're just and that's a problem to her, or maybe it's vice versa. It's just not always the same in the all our unique personalities and things. But there'll be a misunderstandings, and those can be solved. But we need to have the humility and the willingness to solve them. Be understanding. Yes. Be patient. Be very patient. Be understanding. And, okay, the next one I want to mention is in enhancing our relationship is we enhance our relationship by selflessness. We talked about that already. The problem of being selfish. The marriage relationship is one big overcome my selfishness exercise. It's a rule. It's one big overcome my selfishness exercise. Selflessness makes people beautiful and happy, and we learn so slowly, and we recognize the problem so slowly. But by selflessness, and selflessness is sacrifice to me. We don't like sacrifice, but there's always a resultant blessing that is far exceeds the sacrifice. It truly is. So as we face these things, we don't want to become discouraged. There is light. There is hope. And as we follow the scriptures, there will be harmony and strength and beauty. Continue to pursue the godly way. Enhancing our relationship, we enhance our relationship by open forgiveness. We are willing to forgive. We are going to forgive. We already have. Even before we ran into the problem, we already have. We are not going to become stalled in our relationship because I am not going to forgive because of what he or she did. We are not going to do that. There's going to be open forgiveness. There's not going to be any of this silent treatment, any of this bitterness. There can be bitterness. Of course, there can easily be bitterness in a relationship like this. And the scriptures even talk about that in Colossians 3, verse 19. It says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them."
You know, we can become bitter against our wives because our disappointment in them, because of their failure in whatever aspect is, you know, the problem here. But it says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Do not allow bitterness to come into your relationship. Have open forgiveness. We are not going to get stalled in our relationship because I am not ready to forgive. We are going to extend forgiveness to one another. Even before the problem arises, we're going to forgive, and we're going to work through this. We're not going to be stalled by this problem of bitterness. Yes, he or she has their shortcomings. And we can chafe and be bitter, or we can be gracious and loving. Yes, she has strengths. He has strengths. And rejoice in them. And of course, she has shortcomings, and we have shortcomings, and you remember that. And now, see, there you can work to help each other out in your shortcomings. And that makes, when we help each other out in those shortcomings, that makes for a very beautiful relationship, a very strong bond. We can, of course, enhance our relationship by listening. What does she desire? What does he want? And we already talked about how the husband can become consumed with all the things that need to be done. And you need to take time. You need to take time to to listen. We can strengthen our, enhance our marriage relationship, husband-wife relationship, by being peacemakers. Some of these, of course, are very similar to each other. By being a peacemaker, you know, it's like, okay, don't waste your time in conflict. You can just waste your time in conflict. We have different opinions. We're going to, you know, don't waste your time in conflict. Now, some conflicts, some difference of opinion, some need to be resolved, you know, need to be resolved, need to be addressed. But, don't waste your time in conflict, those small things. Let it go. Be a peacemaker. Live harmoniously. It's like a song, you know. When you sing, we like harmony, but harmony is by differing notes, right? It's by differing notes working together. And it makes a beautiful song, beautiful song. And that's how it is in a husband-wife relationship. There's harmony there as there are differences there. And so those differences don't need to be harsh and hurtful to the ear. But they can blend in a harmony like a beautiful song. Be a peacemaker. We can enhance our relationship by polishing what you have. And I want to mention here in this point, don't try to fix her or don't try to fix him. Not that you should never try or never do anything to help the other partner, but to enhance your relationship, what you need to work on, which is terribly tough to do, is to work on yourself. We tend to think, to make this relationship work, I need to work on the other person. But truly, to make the relationship work, you need to work on yourself. Why I'm ever saying this, I don't know. I have such a hard time working on myself. I do. But that is what we need to do to make the relationship work. We need to work on ourselves. And if we think, if I only get her fixed, if I only get him fixed, then, well, that's not true. It's when you get yourself fixed, then it's going to be all right. It's going to be good. When you get yourself fixed, then you can have a good relationship with your wife. It doesn't matter what she's like. Although, you have a lot to be thankful for, okay? You have a lot to be thankful for. We need to fix ourselves. And that's so hard to see that I'm the problem. Yeah. If I fix myself, the problem will go away and it doesn't even look that way. doesn't look that like it would possibly be what's wrong. Again, there is certainly time to correct each other. But you need to fix yourself and work on that. Enhancing husband-wife relationships. Be exclusive. Don't be telling everyone else all about all your troubles. You may need to talk to others sometimes, but don't be telling everybody else all about it. Tend to solve your problems between yourselves. And I'm not saying never talk to anybody about your problems. It may be good to have a person that you can talk to. It is good to have a person you can talk to that can help you. But don't be telling everybody all about your problems. And of course, to enhance personal, enhance husband-wife relationships, we can enhance husband-wife relationships by unquestioning fidelity. Unquestioning fidelity. And last of all, we can enhance husband-wife relationships by working on child training together. We, as fathers, we can dump it all on our wives, and as mothers, we can demand the father do it all. And of course, the husband is responsible to make decisions and give guidance, and he has responsibility to discipline the children, certainly. But you need to work on it together. It's too big a job for both of you. Work on it together. And don't be trying to make each other one to blame for the problems. Work on it together. Do the best you can. And God will bless you. As we look at the marriage relationship, it's a beautiful relationship. And as I look at, you know, reflect on my own life, you know, it's just God was so good to us in spite of how much we had to learn. And that's how God is. He's very, very good to us in spite of how much we learn, how much we have to learn. I remember when Darvin was down in Pensacola, he talked about, in talking about a husband-wife relationships, he talked about the criticism cycle. No doubt he shared it here. But where we had failed to show love to each other, and then we fail to show love to our wife, and then our wife fails to show respect to us, and that cycle goes along, and it gets, you know, worse and worse. But we don't need to do that. We need to extend love, and when we show love, respect is shown, and it gets rewarding and a real blessing. We can get on that criticism cycle and just. But we don't have to. We can get off of it as well, and that relationship can just be one that grows and abounds, and gets more powerful and stronger and more beautiful year after year. So that there's love, full and interrupted, even when failure comes. That there's a disappointment. There's love shown. There's patience shown. We're in this together. We still love each other, and we're going to be there to build each other up and help each other in the way, because we are here together. We love each other. We're going to work together. Well, the key to good relationships is to pursue God. And there's nothing more rewarding than a husband's love to his wife and a wife's respect to her husband. I say that, you know, nothing more rewarding, you know what I mean. Walking together in the will of God, and to those who are in the marriage relationship, I commend you to God. Pursue God with all of your heart. Pursue that and strengthen that relationship as much as you can. It's such a beautiful thing, and it's so rewarding as we live together and work together. And it's so powerful as it relates to our life. It makes me a better person, whoever I am, whether husband or wife. It makes me a better person as we relate to each other in godly ways, and we grow up together in godly ways. It makes me a better person. As children are brought into the home, it makes a wonderful, amazing foundation for children to grow up powerful in a home that the husband and wife are growing in Christ-likeness. And then they learn to love the Lord, and the cycle can go on and on. God bless you as you establish your homes and as you live together, and make your home a blessing. Don't let it be a failure. Make your home a blessing. Apply yourselves to the solution, and it'll be a very wonderful and beautiful experience that God has set up. Things that God has set up are so good and so rewarding. So the Lord bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.